Good evening. My name is Tim Collins, and my wife Miranda and I are planting Capital City Church here in Topeka, just north of the river. We started gathering a core group of people back in, well, I guess late February, early March, which was 1,000 years ago, right? I have a friend here in town who told me this is a bizarre time to plant a church. And I texted him back and said, I think it's a bizarre time to be alive. I don't know if you're planting or pastoring or whatever. I just think it's a bizarre time. We actually were married. We're from Florida, and we pastored an SBC church there. And about 7 years ago, we moved here, and I've been doing missions work. And last year, we felt called for me to go back into the pastorate. And I remember a conversation that I had with a friend, a good friend. One of the interesting things about having lived here for 7 years is that I got to know a lot of the pastors here in town. And one of my pastor friends asked me good-naturedly, he wasn't being negative at all, but he said, why do we need another church up north? That's where we live, is north of the river. If you're from Topeka, you know that's kind of a different part of town. It's just kind of a different quadrant. And as I mentioned earlier, we're from the south, where there really are a lot of churches. And we moved out here 7 years ago, and we looked around, and we just went, wow, like where are all the churches? So I did a little bit of research. There are 460 churches in Kansas-Nebraska Convention, roughly. That sounds about right. We were a part of the Florida Baptist Convention. We had 2,900 churches. Now, I know Florida has more population, but still, America is unchurched. I don't know if you know that. That sounds strange to say out loud, but America is unchurched. Actually, the last survey that I read from Lifeway said that 45% of people who are surveyed here in America say that in the last 6 months they haven't attended church regularly, which means other than, you know, Christmas and Easter and maybe a funeral or a wedding. 45%, and you know as well as I do, what that means is 45% of people were brave enough to say it out loud. The number's probably higher. So for us, we've kind of zeroed in on North Shawnee County, South Jackson County, West Jefferson counties. So I just did research the way that I knew how to do it, which was to sit down with the 2010 census data. That's the most current data that we have. And you can do what's the population of each zip code. So that's what I did. I went zip code by zip code. I wasn't a math major, so I made a spreadsheet, right? It added it up for me, so I know the math was right. And in that area, just north of the river, kind of like I said, North Shawnee, South Jackson, West Jefferson, there were about 60,000 people that live in that area, which sounds like a lot, right? That's not rural ministry. And you know as well as I do, those of us here in Topeka, we regard North Topeka as rural. But it's not really. There's 60,000 people up there. And statistics tell us that for Shawnee County, somewhere between 55 and 70% of those people aren't attending church regularly. And again, those are the ones that are brave enough to admit it. I wasn't a math major, but some of you are already doing the math in your head. That's a lot of people. That's as many as 40,000 or more people. And here's what I'm telling you. Those are my neighbors. And my heart breaks for them. My heart breaks for them. We've got to reach out. We've got to do something. So here's how I've been answering the question. I've been asked it a couple of times since then. Why do we need another church up north? And you know what I tell them? We don't need another church up north. We need a dozen. Just to start. We need a dozen. Because there's not any one church that's going to accomplish this on its own. So for just a couple of minutes, I want you to think about that. Because that's really all I'm trying to say. Because I live up north, north of the river. You live somewhere different. And I promise you, where you live is the same as where I live. There's no one church that's going to do this on its own. That's not God's design. We're going to have to work together. We're going to have to plant churches. We're going to have to help existing churches be healthy. This is what we're called to do. Excuse me. It's a cold, I promise. Two things that I know. Most people would attend church if they were asked. That's what we know. That's what statistics tell us. And the second thing that I know is, in spite of COVID and presidential elections and all the chaos that we're dealing with, you and I both know that we still have hope. We still have the hope that everyone needs. We don't have hope, you know, innately. We have hope because you and I return to the gospel every day, and we remind ourselves that we're sinners who have been saved by grace, and we can extend that grace to other people. And it provides an anchor and a mooring in a culture that's crying out for such things. That's what God is calling us to do. A couple of times recently, I've had some well-meaning friends who have asked about such and such church, which is not far from. We have church on Saturday nights, right? So for us, last night was our seventh week in a row. We're not even a baby yet. Okay, we're just getting kicked off. And I've had a couple of friends who ask about such and such church that's close to us. You know, I don't know what's going on there, but that there's one church that's closed and others that are thinking about it. So I have friends that and they mean well, but they'll nudge me and say, well, what about that building? What about that building? And you know what I've started saying back? What if we figure out how to make that church healthy? Since when did we start celebrating that churches are closing? Goodness. How are we going to reach that number? Capital City Church is not going to do it. We need a dozen to start. And that's not just up where I live. Those are just the people that are my neighbors. Your neighbors need it too. So what would it look like if we created a movement of churches that are 100 years old and churches that are 50 years old and churches that are 7 weeks old, where we all just work together and we cheer each other on? Man, oh man. Isn't that what our culture's asking for? In a culture that's divided, in a culture that as much as we talk about diversity, we don't know how to practice it because we all get in our little echo rooms with our little tribes and we don't want to communicate. Sorry, I started preaching there, didn't I? We need to stop competing. We need to stop competing with each other. We need to work together. We need to start cooperating. Isn't that a word that we use in the SBC? What's the name of the program? Look at that. You know it, right? It's the cooperative program. What if we actually cooperated? What if our current churches were healthy and we worked together to launch new churches and celebrate when there are other churches? Because we're in this thing together. So I'll leave you with this. These three verses have really been an anchor for us over the last 8 months of the chaos that we've all been living through. And we still felt like we were called to plant a church. And I don't think COVID changes that. God still wanted there to be a church there. And we still need churches there. So here we go, right? You know these verses. Hebrews 10:23-25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Listen to this. Without wavering. I love this. In the NIV it says, let us hold fast to our faith unswervingly. I've got a 14-year-old that's about to start driving. You know how I hope he drives? Unswervingly. Listen. Come on. We're laughing, but we're not. Stay out of the ditches. Unswervingly. Unwaveringly. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Please hear this. Oh, man. Why? Is it because you're faithful and I'm faithful and he's faithful and that guy back there is faithful? No. For he who promised is faithful. He's not taken aback by anything that's happened to us. He's not nervous. He's not scared. He's faithful. And let us consider, this is the meat of it, right? Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. We may have to get creative about it, but we need to not neglect meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What's the day? It might be tomorrow. Might be a year from now. I might not see it in my lifetime. But here's what I know. Until the day shows up, you and I are called to lock arms and to encourage one another, to be unswerving, to be unwavering, not because we're faithful, but because the God that we serve is faithful. And what would it look like for us to just realize that it's not about my church or your church, because they're all God's churches anyway? What if we just decided that we're going to cheer and encourage each other and turn our attention towards the 40,000 or the 50,000 or the 60,000 or whatever that number is where you live? What if we did that? What if we created a buzz? I don't know. It's not up to us, but the hope that we have inside of us makes it entirely possible. If we stay faithful and true to that hope, we can do it. Let's pray. Thanks, God, so much for the hope that you've given us. Thanks for the hope that you've called us to. I know I personally have a tendency to want to move past the gospel and move on to what I may think are deeper things, but the deepest thing that you could possibly place our minds and our hearts on is the cross and the level of grace that you've shown us. And as we grow spiritually, help us to always remember that you're holy and we're not. And it's a miracle from your hand that we have a chance to have a relationship with you. We haven't deserved it. We haven't earned it. It's only by your grace. And that grace is enough. It's enough to energize us every day. It's enough to energize our churches. It's enough for us to stand fast in the face of adversity. And to know that you're bigger than anything that's being thrown at us. So our job's just to stay on the side with you. To stay in concert with you. Give us the grace to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.